low, sharp crack, and below, brutal crack, and below, vicious crack. Fuck. Dee bit off. The belt hit the floor. Maddox clipped out. Molly baby, condom. As he worked his jeans in preparation for literally starting the festivities off with a bang. He positioned right behind his boy, wrapped his massive, now freed dick with a hand, aimed it, and slammed in. Dee's entire torso came up to hands in the vault, head thrown back, veins pounding out in his neck, as a low roar pumped from his throat. You got your monster, Maddox taunted, jacking into him so brutally the heavy vault was rocking. Now take my dick and bow your goddamned head, motherfucker. Dee bowed his head, and with jaw hard and pulsing, took a brutal fucking as Molly moved in and handed Maddox a condom without the wrapping. He took it, jerked his head to her, she went in, and he bent down and gave her a deep, wet kiss as he kept hammering ass. When he let her mouth go, she gave him a sweet smile that he took in with warm eyes, before he turned back to Diesel, slipped a hand around the front, expertly rolled a condom on Dee's now engorged, bouncing cock. Then Maddox planted his hand in Dee's back, shoving him chest to vault. Fuck yeah, Dee murmured, starting to pound back into his fucking. Maddox slowed his roll but kept stroking deep. With Dee now meeting him, Maddox's hands moving to his hips. You love this monster? Love it, Maddox. Diesel huffed. Only my boy can take that kind of heat. Only my fucking boy can take me to the root. He slid in fully. How you like that, Dee? How much does my boy love being full of his monster? Keep fucking me with it, Dee pushed out. A punishing thrust sent a powerful grunt driving up Dee's throat, his head jerking back, but he bent it again immediately. That an answer? Maddox demanded. I love it, Maddox. You know I fucking love taking that monster. Maddox pulled out to the tip and teased, working his hips so Dee only got a couple of inches. That monster? Maddox queried. My monster, Mad. Want it back. Keep taking my ass. Can't wait for my cum, can you, Dee? How bad you want me to blow in you? Bad, Maddox. Shit, fuck. Diesel's hips were writhing, seeking attention. Fuck me, give me my monster, you cum. Give it, my man, blow inside me. How hard are you gonna take me? As hard as you can fuck me. How hard do you wanna take me? Hard, Maddox, deep. You know better than that, Dee. How hard you want your monster up your ass? It was guttural with need when Dee begged. Fuck me raw, Mad, please, Christ. Fuck me so hard I feel like you're gonna split me in two. Damn straight, Maddox grunted, got down to business again, shockingly having been holding back, now giving Diesel what he asked for, pistoning inside him spectacularly, savagely, but this time reaching around and jacking Dee's cock. Words disappeared as low, glorious male noises of effort, excitement, and carnality filled the air. It was when Maddox was jacking with one hand, holding Dee down to take it with his other hand planted firm in Dee's back, when finally Maddox groaned. Want my cum? Fuck yeah, Dee growled. Take it, Maddox ordered. Give it, Dee returned thickly. They both gave it, both of them coming near simultaneously. Maddox's orgasm tipping Dee's, and thunder filled the room with the low, masculine snarls of their climaxes. Maddox could not be recovered, and Dee definitely wasn't. When he pulled out, to Dee's surprised aftershocks jolting his body, muted grunt. He smacked Diesel's ass sharply and ordered, "Take your position for your spanking." With an expert eye, Six took in the state of red at Dee's ass, thighs, and back, and wondered if a spanking was wise. Keep the jeans, Maddox said as an afterthought, now standing at the duffel where he was accepting a wetted sage green hand towel that Molly was offering him out of a Ziploc bag. Still fully dressed, with his massive cock exposed through an open fly, he bathed his dick with it as Dee, jeans hiked up but undone and held up with a hand at the front, moved to a padded kneeling bench, sitting beside a straight back chair. He did this without looking at her or Molly, which Six found odd after that wink. He'd gotten what he wanted, what he obviously enjoyed thoroughly. He'd told her he was aiming for it, actually crowed about earning it. The non-eye contact was concerning. But since he wasn't giving it, it wasn't her place as an invited observer to players who knew each other and their style of play far, far better than her, to push it to make sure all was okay. Regardless, nothing extreme had gone down. It was a vicious but magnificent fucking, but he obviously liked it like that, so she couldn't imagine there was a problem. Maybe Dee went into his head in a scene. Most subs did. It was just that Dee going there this quickly, when he was so full of swaggering confidence, surprised her. She thought it'd take a whole lot more to break a switch, but still a dom who was now subbing, like Diesel. At this opportunity of a lull in the action, Six sucked back the rest of her martini, put the glass on the floor by her chair, got up and moved to lean against the window, this affording her a better view into Station 7. Things were getting more serious in both rooms. Play was going deep, but not out of bounds. Though she found it disquieting that a DM now had stationed himself at the wall between the two rooms, and he didn't seem ready to move anytime soon. Worse, it caught her movement and also caught her eye. Shit. She lifted her chin. He glared at her. Asshole. She turned her attention back to the room to see Maddox now seated in the chair and pushing Dee down, chest to thighs. Dee's jeans were again over his ass, his shirt again hiked up to his shoulders. Molly was there too, crouched and reaching between Dee's legs, switching out condoms, her touch making her man's ass and thighs twitch.
"How you doing, bro?"
Maddox asked.
"Fucking great, Mad,"
Dee ground out. Six watched as Maddox smoothed the palm down over spine, reaching the end, curving in, and taking hold of his boy with two fingers planted deep up his ass. He lifted him slightly in this hold, to Dee gusting out a cut-off grunt, then settling him back down.
"Oh, yes, payback was a bitch. There you are, all ready for Big Monster Daddy,"
Maddox taunted good-naturedly.
"Fuck you,"
Dee replied.
"Not until tomorrow, bud,"
Maddox returned. He then landed a relatively tame smack on one cheek of Dee's ass that, even tame, set Dee to jumping. But then Maddox massaged it, apparently roughly. Because him going at that deeply striped flesh with those long, powerful fingers set Dee squirming.
"Gonna be all up in here a lot tonight,"
Maddox carried on conversationally. Smacked Diesel's other cheek and massaged that.
"So, tomorrow night, I'm thinking I'll be in the mood to allow you to have a go at me."
With that, not giving Dee a chance to reply, a spanking commenced. And outside of the fact Maddox had more power than most behind his blows, and Dee was already significantly welted, but the low, gruff noises he was making, and the way he was rubbing his hardening dick against Maddox's jeans-clad thigh any chance he got said he liked it, it was standard enough play. So Six pretended her mind was wandering. She turned back to the windows and scanned the entire space, taking time to watch the DMs at work, not seeing them doing anything amiss, taking in players
looking to see if she could find the guy who got propositioned last night, or the one in the pictures, but keeping her attention off where the paid play was happening. So if the DM that was still there thought her nosy, he would think it was generally. She'd heard the spanking had stopped, and Maddox had given some other orders, but she didn't look back, because she saw Beardsley walking along the passageway at the opposite side of the central play area. She kept her eyes on him, not giving a fuck if the DMs caught her, and watched him go straight to the one standing outside the stations. They had a few words, without Beardsley even looking into the rooms where his girls were getting worked. But Six did. All copacetic, if you didn't count the fact it was for the most part non-consensual and in all parts totally illegal. She let out an impatient breath, and was sure to look away before Beardsley broke it off with his DM and headed down the passageway outside their room. She turned back to the play and saw Dee off his kneeling bench, but still on his knees, shirt on but again yanked up his back, jeans at his thighs, now in front of Maddox, offering his man a fantastic view. And that man was taking it in. Diesel was bent between Maddox's spread legs, hands to the sides of his man's hips, sucking Big Dick. After avoiding her gaze earlier, Six surveyed Diesel closely and with an expert eye. Maddox had a fistful of Dee's hair, his other hand tied on the back of his neck, and he was obviously physically controlling the action. But Dee's eyes were closed, and he gave every appearance he got off sucking cock, not only through his expression but from the rigid state of the meat hanging heavy between his spread legs, which were bound by denim. While Six watched, those blue eyes opened. They looked up at Maddox with something deep and abiding that suddenly stirred Sex, not sexually, but in a warm way. This was before Dee's eyes flashed like an unspoken dare, which bought him Maddox forcing Diesel to take him deeper and do it faster. Diesel groaning, his eyes closing again, this time with open rapture, arching his back, tipping his ass, his fingers clenching into his man's hips. Yes. He was definitely all right. Six headed back to her chair by Molly. After she was seated, Molly asked quietly, "Anything going?" Six kept watching a fabulous blowjob, particularly appreciating Diesel's hollowed-out cheeks, and answered, "Nope."
"I really hope we can stop this guy, and soon," Molly told her. "We were all totally freaked out, in a good way, that you turned out to be a private investigator, and Mad and Dee were stoked you let them in on this job. It's been really bothering them. They didn't want to look like dicks and go straight to Clay if what they thought was happening wasn't happening. In the beginning, though, I think Mad was worried that Clay and Josh might be in on it. They were thinking of blowing off the club, even if it would mean we'd lose the money for membership, since they don't do refunds. It was after we realized Clay wasn't around when the extreme stuff happened, or kinda hasn't been around a lot at all recently, that they figured Pete and Josh were acting alone. Then we heard Josh and Pete had that fight, so we figured Josh wasn't thinking good thoughts either. That's when they were going to move in. They even talked about tipping off the cops. But then you called, and it sure made them happy. Somebody was gonna do something." Even if Six didn't already know it, that sealed it. These were good people.
"Some coincidences are good ones," Six told her.
"Yeah," she agreed.
"Baby, come here," Maddox called, while forcing himself out of Dee's mouth by pushing him up to his knees. Molly gave Six bright eyes while getting out of her seat, whispering,
"Yay."
She moved toward the action. Six's attention moved out of the room. And it was then she saw the girl in Station Six was alone. The guy was gone.
She had a robe on and her head bent to her phone. The DM was still outside those stations. But the girl was not putting on street clothes or even BDSM gear, and she wasn't exiting the room.
Guess she had to do her full schedule before she got her fix.
Shit.
Yeah, take her there, motherfucker.
Maddox grunted, and Six looked back to them. Molly was now seated in the chair, Dee's arms curved around her hips, his face shoved up under her raised skirt between her legs, his activities there and his situation muffling his noises, his ass again getting fucked by his man.
Took your cum 3 times last night, Dee,
Maddox told him.
Slept with your cock up my ass, my cock buried in our baby's pussy, but you wouldn't let me fuck her. You took my ass all night long to keep your dick hard, making me hard, but you didn't let me fuck our girl,
he recounted.
All goddamn night long in service to you taking your cock,
he said, definitely at that precise moment getting his back.
Woke with you up my ass. You didn't release my service. Only then did you let me fuck our Molly, but only with you jacking inside me. And I went to work with fresh cum up my ass.
Dee grunted unintelligibly. Molly moaned. Maddox reached around and started stroking Dee's swollen, low-hanging dick.
Tonight, boy, you're gonna sleep with your monster in your mouth, and you're gonna keep it hard. All night.
Dee groaned, and his hips jerked back into cock.
He liked it like that, too. But Molly?
Maddox kept at him.
She's gonna be strapped in, Dee. Strapped in and buried deep. All night, you're gonna take our sweet Molly. And what she's got for you, she's never not hard.
Dee's arms pulsed around Molly's hips and she whimpered at what was happening or in anticipation of what was going to happen, or both.
It didn't really matter. It all worked spectacularly. Your service in the morning will start with me on my back, you on your knees between my legs, bent in service to your master, blowing your man, taking my cum down your throat, with Molly fucking you up the ass,
Maddox shared. Dee's body spasmed.
Yeah, my man, I know. You love taking us at both ends.
Maddox rumbled approvingly.
But that isn't it, motherfucker. I'm gonna eat breakfast and suck your cock, and I figure that'll get me hard again. So you'll be starting the day with fresh cum buried deep.
The one-upmanship was seriously something. Maddox then got down to business, had his shit tight, and not long after Six found herself witness to a 3-way simultaneous orgasm. Exceptional. After a short recovery, Dee was pulled up to sit on his man's cock, while Molly straightened her skirt and moved in to her men. First she made out with Dee, then, with his face stuffed in her tits over his shoulder, she made out with Maddox.
Almost the best taste in the world,
Maddox whispered when they were done.
Tasting you from him in my mouth. Only thing better? Having you right against my tongue.
Love you, Maddie, she replied.
Love you too, baby.
She pulled back and cupped Dee's dazed face.
Love you, my Dee.
Love you too, my Molly,
he muttered, seeming to be attempting but failing at focusing on her. You could still tell he meant it, because he didn't fail at sounding sweet. Molly took the used condom from Dee and dealt with it, before she moved back to the chairs. During this time, Six ascertained Station 6 was still vacant of a new client, and things were culminating in Station 7, before Molly collapsed in the chair beside her. Six turned to her.
You good? Six asked a stupid question with a knowing grin.
Ever,
Molly mumbled with a goofy smile, eyes aimed to her men. But her face was soft, not just sated from coming, but with something more emotional. "And I'm gonna get better," she finished quietly. Six looked instantly to the boys.
My, my, my. Dee was still sitting on his boy's dick, jeans still tied at his splayed thighs. His shirt Maddox had spread open, so it was almost hanging off his broad shoulders, to expose the muscled magnificence of him fully, from corded throat to thick thighs. Maddox's arms were around him, one rough thumb rubbing a nipple, one veined hand sliding over boxed abs.
Maddox, Dee muttered, looking away from Molly and Six, gaze aimed at the floor.
Sit on your monster and hush, Maddox whispered affectionately, now stroking the area around Dee's glistening, still partially hard cock, an area which Six belatedly noted had been shaved. Maddox was in that same thought process.
Like you smooth, he murmured.
Dee said nothing.
When you were up inside me last night, Dee, loved feeling that smooth against me every time you filled me.
Maddox kept going. Dee remained silent, but his throat convulsed with a forced swallow.
Gonna keep you smooth,
Maddox went on.
Right,
Dee said, low but terse.
Like you got this. Tie you, shave you, blow you, eat you, fuck you.
Maddox kept at him. Dee was silent, but his big body shook with a faint tremble.
He'd gotten off on that. I like how you work me. Love my boy's ingenuity. But you're gonna stay shaved for me, because we both know who's master.
Whoa, that was news. Damn.
Dee didn't reply. Maddox swept a hand up Dee's chest.
Love this body, he murmured.
Suddenly, what was happening outside that room disappeared, and Six's attention was riveted to the players.
Maddox,
Dee whispered. Maddox pulsed up, and Dee's rugged, guarded face smoothed out. That's how much he liked it. Though it was more. It was how much he loved being intimately connected to the man who held one half of his heart.
In a minute, I'm gonna pull out of this sweet ass, and you're gonna go to the table and spread yourself out for me, like you know I like it. Mad, then I'm gonna do you.
Maddox veritably cooed into Dee's ear, his voice now a gorgeous rough velvet.
Fuck yeah, my Dee. I'm gonna do you. With you laid out for your master, your Maddox, I'm gonna take my time with that body. Then I'm gonna fuck you and jack you. Looking at this fucking beautiful goddamned body, that's all.
He tweaked a nipple, making Dee twitch on his cock.
Fuckin'.
He cupped Dee's balls tenderly and on a slight squeeze finished.
Mine.
Dee's ass cheeks clenched his man's cock as he swallowed down a groan. Maddox put hands to Dee's hips and gently pushed him up.
Go, baby, and take off the jeans, but leave the shirt. You know how I like it spread open for me.
Head bowed, Dee got to his feet and dropped his jeans on the way to a padded top, double-wide, wood-based table, climbing up. He lay on his back, cocking a heavy leg high and dropping it to the side. The other leg bent only slightly, also falling to the side, pulling his shirt open to expose himself full body from throat to shoulders to feet.
Serious as all hell, that view was resplendent.
Diesel stared at the ceiling, his chest rising and falling deeply, and Six knew that kind of breathing. It came from the fact he wanted what was coming so bad he couldn't stand it. And he was terrified of it.
Maddox had also gotten up and disrobed fully, exposing his magnificent, attractively hairy body before he headed toward the table.
Molly leaned into Six. "They're both bi," she said in a very low voice that Six knew she didn't want the boys to hear.
But the men wouldn't hear. They were in a new zone. The zone, the best there was. Or Maddox was.
Diesel, well,
Six had a feeling Maddox would get him there. At least she hoped so. But Six had no idea why Molly was sharing such obvious information.
Mad is at peace with it, gets off on it, says he's got the best of both worlds, all worlds, actually, since he takes it and gives it. D, he loves us both, but the at peace part, not so much.
Molly continued. Six looked to her, startled. He wore hides. He worked Maddox openly, cheerfully, expertly. And he was subbing magnificently. How could he not be at peace with his sexuality?
Whoa.
Well, apparently that explained why he didn't look Six's and Molly's way during play. Molly shook her head, looking suddenly sad.
At home, at the club, it's all good. We're what we have. It's so, so good, Mr. Six. I mean, they fight. I fight with Mad or Dee, mostly Mad. He can be so bossy. But we've been together so long, we're just there. So that doesn't happen so much anymore.
She flipped a hand indicating the world at large.
It's out there.
She trailed off, seemed to get lost in melancholy thoughts, came back to the room and continued speaking.
My D works road construction. All those guys talking about tagging ass and calling gays faggots and all that horrible, dreadful stuff every day, all day long, it gets in his head. But mostly it stems from the fact that his parents are jerks. And his dad says stuff like that all the time. Talking smack about movie stars who are out, just stuff like that. They think Mad is our roommate. And sometimes I wish he'd bend D over the couch, take his pants down, and fuck him hard right in front of them. Not so they'll get it. I don't care if they get it. They're awful. They don't deserve D or me or Maddox. But so they'll go away and stay away. I want it to be like when my folks are around, or Mad's. They might not totally get it, but they love us all, and want us in their lives, feel lucky to have one extra, instead of what they would have if we weren't who we are to each other. So when they're around, it's amazing. These folks, I don't want to say it, but they earned it. I feel actual hate.
She looked to the table, back at Six, and gave her more heavy.
They never kiss. Just a kiss. They kiss me all the time, as you can see. Not each other. They say it's respect for me, and I think they're trying to be sweet, but it's silly. And just an excuse. They're like that, though. Here in the club, they never display me. They might eat me or fuck me or make me suck them, but they never show the private parts of my body. They own it, and that's their prerogative. And they're both crazy possessive. I let mistresses work them, never them working subs. But mistresses they want, I let it happen when they want it. Not often, she has to be special. Like you. They'd never let another dom touch me. I don't mind at all. They are so totally enough for me. But that's how they are, both of them. Bottom line, I think it's gentlemanly.
I noticed that about them. Six responded equally quietly. She nodded and kept talking.
But Maddox nor Diesel ever take anyone else's cock. Not ever. Mad suggested it once, I think because he was pissed Diesel holds back and Dee lost his mind.
Worst fight they ever had. I thought it would break us up. But Maddox figured it out then.
He got it. Diesel's response said it all.
To Maddox, to me. Not to Dee. Still, they don't kiss. Unless I ask them to when one of them is fucking me and the other is watching. The minute their lips touch, though, they go at it. It makes me sad. Sad for my Maddox. Sad for my Dee. Oh, honey. Six whispered, hearing all this. Sad for all of them. I should have known the way Dee worked Mad last night. Mad would go with this. You're not getting the Dee he expected you to get. Usually Mad works him, and Dee's still cocky, in your face. He loves getting fucked and taking it hard, and doesn't mind anyone in the life knowing it. It's like a challenge to him. Like it proves he's really a man. When you can see he is, he doesn't have to prove that to anybody. Even when Maddox is inside him, he's spurring him on to really go at him, bring the pain, take him rough. Another hand flip and she kept going. This for him. It's the most difficult for Dee to take. And it's probably worse for him, you here. They both really like you, respect you. But in Dee's head, as crazy as it is, since he doesn't feel the same about Mad or anyone else, he's gonna be thinking you'll think less of him, like his folks would, like the guys on his crew would. But this work, what Mad's gonna be doing, it's my favorite. Diesel's too, but he won't admit it. Mad will ask me for permission to kiss him. Just wait, mistress. It's beautiful. Six nodded, glancing at the table, and immediately looking back to Molly. Because what was happening on that table was public, but excruciatingly private. He loves it. Dee, what he did to Mad last night, Molly carried on. Because he loves it, but more. He loves how much Maddox gets off on it. He's always trying to take him higher and higher, saying that he knows the further he pushes Mad, the closer he comes to Maddox giving him this as payback. And subconsciously, this is where he's hoping it will go. She took in a breath, leaned slightly closer, and kept going. Maddox is our master. He lets Dee dom me because Dee needs that. It's the way he is, hetero-speaking. And Mad loves me and Diesel. But Dee works Mad because Mad gets off on it, and knows Dee does too, so Mad lets him. But Mad owns Dee. You could probably tell last night that all that was a run-up to what's happening here, and Dee knows it. Mad is not about creativity. He's hardcore and uncomplicated. Fuck, come, fuck harder, come harder. But when it's just us, Mad always makes love to me. And when it's just Dee and me, he always makes love to me. It's only times like now Maddox gets to make love to Diesel. Even when they go at each other at home, not at play, Dee needs it rough. Like Mad taking him that way somehow is twisted in his head that he's taking it and Diesel isn't giving it. Though Dee, he gets in the zone a lot like he's in another world, another life. And he makes love to Maddox. And Mad and me don't say anything because we don't want to bring Dee's attention to it. If we did, it might make him stop. Six chanced a look at the table and saw an enraptured face with a black beard sucking a cock he adored. With Dee's back arched, so Six couldn't see his face, but his long fingers were buried tenderly in Maddox's dark hair. See how beautiful they are, Molly murmured, tone filled with marvel. I see, Six agreed. Molly fell silent. Six watched Maddox release Dee's cock, lave affection on his balls while he stroked his man's dick with his hand, nibbling and licking the skin all around his privates. Then he went back to business, this time deep-throating. Dee's ass clenched on a long, low groan, and he started gently fucking Maddox's face. Maddox buried two fingers up Diesel's ass, earning another groan, and openly, blissfully took his face fucking while he tenderly stroked inside. God. Very beautiful. Six swallowed, and decided to take that time to give them privacy, doing it to force her attention away. Definitely not think about how sad all this suddenly was, remind herself why she was there, and check out the scene. Luck finally struck, because the girl in Station 7 was outside of the room, standing with the DM, wearing platforms, a pleather miniskirt and halter, hair mussed, clumsily fisting what the DM was handing off to her. Six honed in, but was too far away to see what it was. However, the fact that they were trying to be covert about it meant that it was something to be covert about. Dope. So the DMs passed it off, which meant maybe they also helped with the dealing. She was so totally tattling. The girl skedaddled, probably beelining it to the ladies' loo. Before Six got caught watching, she turned back to the room, to find Dee now up on splayed knees that cradled Diesel's hips. He was inside Dee, who was still on his back, both his legs now cocked high and opened wide, spread out for his man. Maddox was stroking Dee's cock and lovingly fucking his ass. He turned his head to Molly. "Baby," he called.
"Of course," she said dotingly.
Maddox needed no further encouragement. Took ass, stroked cock, bent in, and devoured Dee's mouth. For his part, Dee caught him at the back of the neck in a tight hold and kept him there, undulating his hips to meet the thrusts he was taking, to deepen the strokes at his cock as they kissed like the lovers they were. Molly was so right. It was beautiful. Things started to get critical, going faster, harder, deeper, and Maddox broke the kiss so both of them could breathe, but he didn't go very far away.
"Yeah, baby,"
he whispered.
"Yeah, Mad,"
Dee whispered back.
"Yes, beautiful."
Maddox moved to slow, smooth, thorough strokes, obviously wanting to draw out the experience, give himself more, give Dee more.
"Love your ass."
Dee arched into him and Maddox groaned, pulling hard on his man's dick.
"Love this cock."
Unfortunately, this tripped something in Diesel. His hand, still at Maddox's neck, suddenly fisted in his hair, and Six sensed the change immediately, and automatically mourned it. Maddox sure didn't miss it. "Need it rough?" he asked instantly.
"Yeah,"
Dee grunted.
"My boy need to submit,"
Maddox went on.
"Fuck yeah,"
Dee groaned. Abruptly, Maddox straightened and looked down at Dee, placing his hands on the insides of his knees, spreading him impossibly wider. With no choice, Dee's ass tilted up with the move, and a sound of pained hunger rocketed from his chest as Maddox started pumping in harder.
"You gonna submit?"
Maddox asked, his thrusts now fast and going wild.
"If you make me,"
Diesel dared. Maddox pulled out, flipped Dee violently, hauled up his hips and bumped his thighs wide with a knee. With him in position, Maddox slammed up his ass, mounting him fully by curving over his back. Hand curled around the back of Dee's neck and staying there, forcing him face down to the table, pounding into him.
"Yeah,"
he bit off.
"Yeah,"
Dee pushed out. Six thought the loss of what they'd had was wretched. She also thought Maddox giving it up because Diesel needed him to was an amazing display of love.
"Who's up inside you?"
Maddox demanded.
"You, Maddox."
Maddox started pummeling each drive, forcing a grunt from Dee.
"Who? Master. My master's taking my ass."
"You like him up there?"
"Yeah. Fuck yeah."
"You need him up there?"
"Oh yeah. Fuck yeah. Need that monster cock."
"Whose cock?"
Maddox demanded.
"Your cock." Maddox started seriously pistoning, and Diesel's grunts started grating.
Whose cock? God damn it, Maddox pushed. My master's cock. My ass needs my master's cock. I need my master's cock.
So you submit? Maddox asked.
I submit, Mad.
Then submit, D. Beg your master to fuck your ass, Maddox ordered, even though he hadn't stopped doing just that.
Take my ass. Fuck it. Fuck me. Please, master, don't fucking stop. Keep goddamned fucking me.
Stay down, motherfucker, Mad ordered. Put a hand into the table for leverage. The hand at D's neck, he moved to his cock, and he jacked him and kept fucking him entirely differently than he'd been doing.
Six looked to Molly, who felt her gaze and gave Six her own.
Still, toad's hot, she said softly, but sad, though it was nice having it while it lasted.
She was totes right.
Up,
Maddox ordered, gaining both women's eyes.
Hands behind your head, Dee complied.
Maddox hauled him around so they had Dee's impressive front. Not the men at their sides, doing this still connected, which was an awe-inspiring feat.
Maddox latched on to the dick and balls bobbing in front of him and went at them, pulling and squeezing both ruthlessly.
Christ, yeah!
Dee exploded, starting to move violently, meeting the thrust at his ass.
You know you're taking a huge-ass plug, keeping my cum inside you, wearing that home for me.
Dee just grunted and kept doing it.
You gave me three loads last night. You take this one, we're done here. When I get you home, Dee, I'm bending you over the kitchen table at my seat, so I can think of having your ass there, full of me, while I eat, and I'll give you one more load. Now, bow your fucking head when you're taking me.
Dee bowed his head, groaning.
I need to come, man. You're not gonna come. I need to come, Maddox.
Your deep, slow, brutal stroke that jolted Dee's entire body. Gonna another hold.
Back to pistoning. Fuck me,
Dee growled. That's what I'm doing, my man.
Condom,
Dee bit out. No, you're gonna shoot for Molly. You're gonna give our girl your cum. We'll clean up after.
Mad.
Take your monster. You love it. Take it.
Maddox.
Tell me you love it.
I love it,
Dee grated, now bucking sadistically into the thrusts he was taking.
Tell me you love my cock deep up your ass,
Maddox commanded.
I love your cock deep up my ass. Fuck yeah. I love it very deep,
Dee rasped out.
Fuck, Maddox, I need to blow.
Take it and hold.
Christ.
Take it and hold.
Fuck, baby.
Dee begged.
Let me blow.
Maddox fucked a baby out of his man.
Six almost smiled. And that did it.
Take my load.
Maddox's last word was a groan as he blew, and so he had to force out a coarse go.
Maddox moved with him as Dee came fully up on his knees and arched madly, buttocks clenching his man so hard up his ass through his orgasmic groans. Maddox's throat exploded with a harsh grunt. His head hiked back while Dee shouted out his climax, Maddox's unceasing hands pulling at him and squeezing him, and Diesel shot cum across the table phenomenally, as they both experienced exquisite release.
Now that she was taking vitamins, Six needed to find out what these boys took. Whatever it was packed a punch. Yowza.
They shook with their aftershocks, chests moving deeply, and the come-down took a while, before Maddox slid a tender hand up Dee's chest around to his back, where he shoved him down, face to the table, and kept stroking up his ass, now slowly. It was then it hit Six that Maddox had given Dee everything Diesel had forced him to promise to give the night before, which was everything Diesel wanted to take. He might not be creative,
but God, he loved his man. Molly, baby, bring me Diesel's plug, Maddox ordered softly.
Okay,
she murmured. Maddox looked down to Dee.
Good?
He asked.
Yeah, man,
Diesel replied.
Had a chance to think of payback? Mine's been somewhat occupied, bro, so not yet. But it's gonna rock your world.
Maddox chuckled, still moving inside Dee, looking down at the man before him with a gentle face and love in his black eyes. Something Six had not seen him give Diesel openly, except that sadly short time they were making love. Then Maddox took his shot.
You know I live for two things, this ass and her pussy.
There was a hesitation, a tightening of Dee's body, before he whispered,
I know, buddy.
He said no more, and because he didn't, the new look on Maddox's face tore at Six's heart. God, they were killing her. Molly arrived with the plug. Maddox took it, and she sat on the edge of the table, running her fingers through Dee's hair, which caused him to turn his head and look up at her, keeping his position bowed in front of his master, probably not cognizant of all that said, especially Maddox still moving inside him, claiming what was his in a moment of calm. Dee gave Molly a grin.
Hey, gorgeous,
he said gently. Hey, my Dee, she replied, gazing at him adoringly. Maddox pulled out. Dee's thighs tightened when he took his plug, and then Maddox slapped Dee's ass, giving him permission to be at ease.
Get dressed, my man. Time for a drink, recuperation, and I'm back at you at home.
Diesel, Six noticed, gave Molly a hard kiss, not Maddox, and he didn't look at Six at all as he climbed off the table and headed to his jeans. Molly set about cleaning up her man's cum. Six rose from her chair and aimed her eyes out the window at nothing, giving them privacy to get themselves sorted. Maddox caught her attention after he'd yanked on his jeans and started to move with shirt and boots in his hand toward Six, stopping close, looking at her and asking her like he didn't care about her answer.
Work for you?
Not willing herself to do it, but glad she did, she lifted her hand, laid it lightly on his chest, and stared right into his eyes.
Inspired, she whispered.
He glared at her for a beat before his black eyes melted. He lifted his free hand, curled his fingers around the back of hers at his chest, squeezed them lightly, dipped his chin, then let her go. Her hand dropped and Maddox moved away. Apparently, aftercare was Molly's territory, because she was leaning so heavily into Dee, both arms around his middle, his arms slung across her shoulders as they made their way to Six after Dee got dressed and Maddox had packed them up, that it looked like she was holding him up. Dee met her eyes like a dare.
Told you I'd buy it.
You could give a class on taking an ass thrashing, she quipped, in a variety of ways. His eyes, weirdly cold and remote for the man she'd known somewhat meaningfully, if only briefly, but had come to like a great deal, roamed her face. Fortunately, he found what he needed there. His lips quirked in a shadow of his impudent grin, and he said,
Your last martini was on Mad. Your next is on me.
How about my round? She asked. Dee looked genuinely offended.
A woman buy a drink?
He queried, like that concept was foreign to him, foreign and repulsive. I do have money, she replied.
That doesn't happen on our watch,
Maddox chimed in, joining them, fingers curled around the duffel.
There. Watch?
Oh, for God's sake, Six snapped.
Just give in. Seriously, or we'll be standing here all night, and I need a daiquiri,
Molly declared. Before Six could reply, Maddox growled, gaze aimed over her shoulder, Fuck. It's our guy.
Six whirled, looked into Station 7, and there he was. The man in Tucker's pictures.
Molly, baby, hit the bar.
Diesel ordered.
Now.
Molly scooted, going directly to the sliding glass door, and through it. Six pulled her phone out of her cleavage, engaged it and the camera. She turned back to the men. Ready, boys?
Fuck yeah,
Diesel said. Maddox had eyes to the window but jerked up his chin.
Let's roll.
25. Especially in this house. 6. In Six's experience, when you were going to be doing something someone might not want you to do, you didn't fuck around. You just did it before they got the chance to try and stop you. But you went in prepared that they might try and stop you, so you could stop them from doing that. So with the boys at her back, Six strolled right up to Station 7 like she owned the joint. Phone raised, camera at the ready. The DM clocked them before they got there, obviously, and went on alert. Six ignored him, moved wide of him when they got close, and continued to ignore him when he clipped. No cameras in the play area. Apparently ready to rumble after worrying about this situation for as long as they had, although Six said nothing, D growled,
"Fuck off."
The DM shifted her away, stupidly keeping his focus on Six.
I said, no fucking cameras.
She got off a shot. His hand darted out toward her phone as she got off another one. He didn't catch hold, but instead was slammed back to the glass. Two big fists in his polo crunched at his chest by Diesel.
What the fuck?
She heard shouted angrily by a male voice off to her other side that was too close for her liking, as the DM tussled with D and yelled, "Get off me, man!" Six kept taking shots of the man in Station 7, who was now looking out the windows at her with big eyes, the girl with him blinking hazily at the action outside. At the same time, she heard male noises at her side, and knew Maddox had engaged another DM. She let the boys do their work and decided to be thorough. If Barclay hadn't noticed, he needed to become aware of the state of the girls working for his partner. So she took several steps wide to the left, firing off shots of the still-berobed girl in Station 6, withered and wasted. The latter, in more ways than one. Seriously, the girl in Room 7 looked relatively healthy, whereas this one was totally strung out. Carried too many brands, and was scored all over with the scarred remains of blood play, and waiting for her next trick.
Six, watch it,
Maddox grunted, obviously still grappling. Six whirled just before a hand grabbed for her phone, but she did it prepared. Since her arm was already raised, she cocked it higher and let fly with her elbow, striking him hard in the side of the neck. DM number 3 made a surprised noise of pain and stumbled back a step, but unfortunately recovered quickly and moved quicker. Catching her wrist, he twisted the skin in his hand in an effort to bring on enough pain for her to drop the phone. He failed. At the same time, he jerked her so her body slammed into his. Getting her there, he demanded viciously right in her face,
"Give me that fucking phone."
Mabel thought wearing high heels made you vulnerable. It did, only if you didn't know how to use them. Six knew how to use them. Therefore she lifted a leg and put all her weight into bringing her stiletto down on the top of his foot. She thought she felt bone crunching. He let her go, as a wounded, enraged yowl came from his throat, and he bent toward his foot. She was about to make a move to incapacitate him when they were joined by another party. And who that party was,
shocked Six into immobility. The yowl truncated when DM number 3 was slammed chest first against glass, his cheek violently crunched against the window, because Stellan's hand was wrapped around the side of his head. Stellan stepped back, taking the guy with him, turning him, and without delay, taking his head in both hands, he slammed the guy's face down into his raised knee. The man grunted as his legs gave out, and Stellan switched holds. Letting his head go, while clenching a fist in his shirt, he held him steady for a succession of blows to the face, each precisely aimed at his cheekbone, the second splitting the skin, the third opening it wider, the fourth sending blood spatter spitting out, the fifth insult to injury, the sixth making it a miracle the guy was remaining conscious. His head lolling, Stellan let him go, and he floated to the floor. He straightened from him and didn't look at a stunned Six. But where he aimed his eyes nudged Six out of her stasis, making her pivot toward the noises she was hearing behind her. The DM, Diesel, smacked to the glass, was in a fetal position on the floor, out of commission, moaning and cradling his junk. Maddox had a chokehold on DM number 2, immobilizing him. But one of the DMs must have alerted Beardsley, because he'd entered the fray and engaged Diesel. And now Diesel was going to town on him. "That's it," Maddox snarled his encouragement. "Fuck him up, bro." Diesel didn't really need the encouragement, and he was proving Six's assessment of last night true. He could easily twist the guy into a pretzel, if he wanted to. He clearly didn't want to. He wanted to beat the snot out of him. Guess that myth of fighters preparing for a bout by not allowing sexual release in order to conserve strength was just that. A myth. Diesel had blown repeatedly very recently, yet he was, no other way to put it, fucking the guy up. Six had just started to turn to Stellan to ask what the hell he was doing there when a deep voice boomed, "Stand down." She looked to her right and got shock number 2 of the evening. Branch Dillinger was standing there, stony-faced as usual, hot as usual, and looking pissed. Not as usual, he usually didn't look anything but bored, uninterested, or unfriendly. Behind him stood Josh Coates, next to a dark-haired, mildly attractive man of average height and enraged expression, who she knew from her research was Barclay Richardson, and a tall, built black man who might be in the top 6, now 7 in order, Stellan, Diesel, Arius, Maddox, Ollie, Branch, and that guy, of the handsomest men she'd ever seen. Diesel pushed Beardsley off, sending him careening into a partition wall, then falling flat on his ass, dripping blood from lip, nose, and a cut over his eye. With a nasty shove at the back of his head, Maddox sent DM number 2 staggering his way. And Maddox must have done some damage before the chokehold, because the dude could barely keep himself up. He ended on a knee and both hands. For some reason, Six suspected was Maddox's doing, his other leg dragging behind him, a few feet away from Beardsley.
"Join your colleagues," Stellan murmured in a voice very like him, silky, calm, and articulate.
But he did it, dragging the stupefied DM number 3 he'd beat to hell over to his compatriots, dropping him close and stepping away. DM number 1 was trying to get to his feet, but Diesel wasn't a fan of that, so he planted a cowboy boot in his ass and sent him lurching into the group on the floor of the passageway. Barclay Richardson, at this point, stepped over a pair of legs on the floor, walked between Six and D without looking at either of them, and slid open the door to Station 7, moving to stand in it. Six turned and saw the girl now seemed more alert. So she was also now freaked,
but the John looked terrified.
Your pimp is out of business,
Barclay said in a low, infuriated voice, his gaze aimed at the man.
After I deal with this nightmare, I'm calling the cops. So my suggestion is, get out of my house and do it fast. And my requirement is,